Advent is a time for God's people to reawaken their longings. When we long for the silence to be broken, when we long for the light that shines in the darkness, when we long for the peace that surpasses understanding, today we light 4 candles. The first candle is the light of hope, granting strength to the weary. The second candle is the light of peace that surpasses our understanding. The third candle is the light of joy that touches the depths of our soul. The fourth candle reminds us of the light of God's love poured out in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. God of grace, you so loved the world that you gave your one and only Son to all who believe. Jesus is the true gift of Advent, shining forth your glory and grace. As the light has grown brighter through the season, we pray that you would shine forth the promise of your hope, peace, joy, and love within our lives and within our world. Amen.
As we come near to Christ's nativity, let us stand as we are able to remember with hope, peace, joy, and love these words of praise written by both the psalmist and the Luke. What? Oh. I'll try this again. As we come near to Christ's nativity, let us stand as we are able to remember with hope, peace, joy, and love these words of praise written by the psalmist and the Luke. I will sing of the Lord's loyal love forever.
I will proclaim your faithfulness with my own mouth from one generation to the next.
Why I say, your loyal love is greatly built forever. You establish your faithfulness in heaven.
Holy is his name. He shows mercy to everyone from one generation to the next, who honors him as God.
He has shown strength with his arms. He has scattered those with arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations.
He has pulled the powerful down from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed.
Please join us in singing Psalm number 20, Watchmen, Tell Us of the Night. Friends, old habits and new wrongs wear ruts through our lives and relationships, but God is able to restore us. Like water flowing through a desert, like rain moistening meadows, and the waters of baptism flow through us, reminding us that we belong to God and through God's forgiveness, re-raised to new life. Faithful God, we know that you are always there to guide us. Yet we often make plans without listening to you and discover that our human agendas come down our ability to hear your will for us. We repent of these faults
and turn to you in love. Forgive our offenses and pardon our sins, that our lives may magnify your holy name forever. Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also.
The Beginning now, please share the peace born of hope, joy, and love with all you meet. I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord. Forever with my mouth I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. I will declare your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to my servant David. I will establish your descendants forever and build your throne for all generations. Then you spoke in a vision to your faithful one and said, I have set the crown on one who is mighty. I have exiled that one chosen from the people. I have found my servant David with my holy oil. I have anointed him. My hand shall always remain with him. My arm shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him. The wicked shall not humble him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down those who hate him. My faithfulness and steadfast love shall be with him, and in my name his horn shall be exalted. I will set his right hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. He shall cry to me, you are my father.
Thank you. It's always good to have kids in church. The noise reminds us of the cacophony of sounds that must have been going on in Bethlehem and in Nazareth and Jerusalem and everywhere when Jesus was born. It's nice to hear it. So this week, as I was looking for how to preach this morning, I kept thinking, this is no ordinary Sunday. We have Advent in the morning and Christmas Eve in the evening. It's a time of transition. So I meditated and reflected and prayed, and I read, which I do a lot of. And God seemed to be saying, that Luke reading's good, but it's not the entire story that you need to tell today. So I'm working backwards. We've been wandering around through Romans and through the prophets, but today we're going to go backwards in Luke a little bit, just a little. We're going to start with verse 5 of the chapter of Luke that we're to be in. And we're going to go on from there. So listen now for God's word to God's people. During the rule of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron. They were both righteous before God, blameless in their observance of all the Lord's commandments and regulations. But they had no children because Elizabeth was unable to become pregnant, and they were both very, very old. One day, Zechariah was serving as priest before God, and an angel from the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw the angel, he was startled and overcome with fear. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah." "Afraid? I should say so. An angel? Really? Ah, but you say, of course, I can believe that. I've been raised with these stories." Yes, you and I have been raised with these stories, these Bible stories in which angels are an almost everyday occurrence. Most other cultures also have supernatural beings who visit Earth from their god or gods. And lots of folks would say seeing an angel is like seeing a spaceship. Highly unlikely and actually quite impossible. But for now, I invite you to go along with this one. I have a question. How would you feel if suddenly, out of nowhere, another being appeared to you and began talking to you? What would be the first thing to go through your mind? How would you feel? As Mindy knows, and Kathy too, it doesn't take much for me to be startled. Any number of you have quietly come down the hall to the office while I was deep in thought, and if I didn't scream when you came to the door, at least some kind of noise came out of my mouth. But once I know who's at my doorway, I get over it. But what if that visitor at my doorway wasn't exactly human-looking? What if it had wings? Or its mouth didn't move, and I still heard a voice. Yeah, I think we'd all at least be confused, probably troubled. And would you believe the voice that said, "Do not be afraid"? Well, this otherworldly being goes on to tell the old priest that his wife was going to have a baby who will be a delight and a joy to the couple. What's more, the little one will be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and make people ready for the arrival of the Messiah. The truth of this pronouncement is really quite doubtful. In all likelihood, what was being told to the old man, he thought, was impossible. Impossible. Zechariah was skeptical, to say the least. Now, even though you and I would like to say we'd believe that messenger, we'd all probably be somewhat suspicious. So instead of accepting these amazing words at face value, Zechariah questions the messenger. "How can I be sure of this? My wife and I are very old." This was not the response the visitor expected or wanted from an elderly, faithful priest. For he replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in God's presence. I was sent to speak to you and to bring this good news to you. Know this, what I have spoken will come true at the proper time. But because you did not believe, you will remain silent, unable to speak until the day these things happen." Angels must have great power, for this word made the consequence so. Zechariah couldn't speak when he left the temple. Not long after Zechariah returned home from his priestly service, old Elizabeth actually did become pregnant. Highly unlikely, but apparently not impossible. Now, the way the Bible tells this story, Angel Gabriel isn't done surprising people. This time, the messenger visits 12 or perhaps 13-year-old Mary. She lived in Nazareth, and as was the custom of her people, even at that age, she was engaged to be married. The young man, the groom, was a descendant of the house of King David. Now, if an old man was startled by the sudden vision of some otherworldly being, can you imagine how shocked this young girl would have been? The New Revised Standard Version of the Bible says she was much perplexed. But the original Greek text makes readers totally understand that she was actually terrified. Terrified! Not only that, she didn't merely ponder the messenger's presence in words. That's too calm and adult a word for what she was feeling. Near panic, her mind was in overdrive, trying to make sense of them. And this is what the angel said to her. "Rejoice, favored one. The Lord is with you." I suspect she'd be thinking, "Oh, God has noticed me? I'm favored? That's a surprise. That's actually impossible. I'm just a girl from a small village in the hills of Galilee. This whole thing doesn't make sense. God is supposed to be with the priests and their daughters. I'm nobody." But the angel continued, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God is honoring you. Look, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus." Oh dear, she thought. Oh dear. Don't be afraid. Of course I'm afraid. I'm engaged, not married. Being pregnant before being married will bring shame to my family. It might even get me stoned to death. This is not good. The angel, though, doesn't let Mary's negativity get in the way of his announcement. For he says, he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. He will rule over Jacob's house forever, and there will be no end to his kingdom. That is a great deal to take in. And in ordinary circumstances, such news would be received with great joy. But Mary's concerned, and her reality comes into her mind, so she asks a question. How will this happen, since I haven't known a man? The angel matter-of-factly replies, saying, the Holy Spirit will come over you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the one who is to be born will be holy. He will be called God's Son. And as a way to further prove the truth of his good news to the girl, this messenger says, look, even in her old age, your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son. This woman who was labeled unable to conceive is now 6 months pregnant. Nothing is impossible for God. Friends, this is good news. Nothing is impossible for God. The things we believed to be impossible, like an angel visiting Zechariah, or old Elizabeth becoming pregnant, or a preteen hearing that she is about to become God's mother, all are possible for God. God can change lives. And while these words have been said throughout the Old Testament, people like you and I have set so many beliefs about God in stone that we don't always hear God's words. Oh, we may read them, but we don't pay them much heed. Just look at the difference between Zechariah and Mary. Both are visited by Gabriel. Both ask questions of God's messenger. But the angel's response to them is vastly different. It seems to be that even after God's messenger tells him great news, Zechariah is asking for proof, for a sign. People ask for signs when they still don't believe God is working in their lives. Meanwhile, Mary isn't asking for a sign. She's curious and wants to clarify something. She wants to know how this is going to happen. Zechariah's dragging around a heavy stone of belief that God cannot change your life when one is as ancient as is he. Zechariah's question is fueled by his disbelief, which offends the angel. And consequently, the priest ends up unable to speak for the duration of his wife's pregnancy. Yet the young girl's question brings out the angel's encouragement. Mary wasn't asking for a sign. She was simply curious and wanted to understand something. She wanted to know how this could happen. Even nowadays, we overlook the miracles God works in our everyday lives. Families can be torn apart over seemingly little things, and we think we'll never sit together around a dinner table again. We believe we're just too far apart on this issue or that. And then something happens, often not even related to the issue in question. And someone's views change, and soon a call is made inviting long-lost relatives to dinner. Last spring, we were worried that this congregation would grind to a halt in the oh-so-near future. But God was working through various members of this church and of another congregation. And while their presence doesn't completely relieve our financial concerns, that congregation is now nesting in this building with us. And you may have heard their music this morning. Every day, our beliefs about what is possible and what is not are being turned upside down by God. And God isn't finished turning the bigger story, the biblical story, over yet either. For after taking in the angel's answer and the depth of its meaning, the young girl from Nazareth said this, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me just as you have said." Wow. What a transformation has happened in her life. Mary's gone from a simple peasant girl to a strong woman willing to risk her life in God's service. She's trusting that God is not setting her up for failure. She believes Gabriel's words that the Holy Spirit will be with her. And Gabriel has also given her a very important piece of information. She's not going to go through this pregnancy alone in earthly terms. God has blessed her relative Elizabeth with a pregnancy, even at her advanced age. In a world where family and community are of utmost importance, Mary knows that she and her relative will be able to support one another in their unconventional, God-ordained journeys. So she leaves her village and walks however many miles it is to Elizabeth's home. And there she's met with more surprises. Scripture tells us, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And with a loud voice she blurted out, "God has blessed you above all women and he has blessed the child you carry. Why do I have this honor that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Blessed is she who believed the Lord would fulfill the promises he made to her." Blessed is she. Blessed are they who believe that the Lord fulfills promises made to them and sometimes finds ways to do impossible things when we least expect it. You see, it's all about believing that God can and often will do the impossible with and through a person. In a culture where women weren't particularly valued as they are in our culture today, God had changed the lives of these two women forever. God had done impossible things with both of them. And God had transformed them from ordinary people to prophets, and from Mary from being a simple peasant girl to the mother of God. Once she realized all of this, Mary rejoiced, not for herself, but for the world, which was about to turn on its ear. And here's what she said about the whole situation. "With all my heart, I glorify the Lord. In the depths of who I am, I rejoice in God, my Savior. He has looked with favor on the low status of his servant. Look, from now on, everyone will consider me highly favored because the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He shows mercy to everyone from one generation to the next. Oh, all who honor him as God. He has shown great strength with his arm. He has scattered those with arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations. He has pulled the powerful down from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. He has come to the aid of his servant Israel, remembering his mercy, just as he promised to our ancestors, to Abraham and to Abraham's descendants forever. Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months, and then she returned to her home. Thanks be to God for making the impossible more than possible, but real and true. Amen.
Please rise as you are able and join me in saying the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified.
crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended into heaven. Third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Now please join us in singing hymn number 48, Lo, How Rose Are Blooming.
Our worship is indeed a time of prayer. Let us focus now especially in our hearts. O God of new life, O God who turns over the world and brings to it one who will make the powerful recoil in fear. O Lord, we thank you for the gift of Christ, of Jesus, the baby, who Mary learned of, and who, after asking how, rejoiced herself that this could be possible. O Lord, we thank you that he did indeed come to us, come in a manger, far from his Nazareth home, come in a world filled with pain, agony, and faith. O Lord, we thank you that his spirit is still with us this day, and has continued throughout the years since his birth on this earth. We thank you that he is still working impossible possibilities in us and through us. And we thank you that it is not just us, but our families and friends through whom Christ works. We are grateful for the blessings of enjoying their presence in our lives, just as Elizabeth and Mary enjoyed each other's presence in their lives. For you have put us on a path, a journey that is not common, a journey that can change lives, a journey that is full of faith and companionship and hope and love and joy. Oh Lord, we thank you for all of these gifts. And now we lift to you the concerns of our hearts this day. We lift up to you the first responders in this community who protect us. We lift up to you today the leaders of this community, this state, this country, this world. We ask that you place the teachings of Jesus in their hearts, that they might lead in faithfulness, goodness, truth, and love for their people. We pray for this church and for all the Presbyterian churches in the area, all the Presbyterian churches in the world, and all those churches from various and sundry denominations who also follow his teachings and trust their lives to him. Keep us strong, even in the face of discouragement, hopelessness. Remind us that with you all things are possible. We pray for this earth that experiences so many different situations nowadays due to climate warming and our inability to do our best to care for nature, the nature that you created to support us and for us to enjoy. Help us, Lord, help us do our best that is better than what has been in the past. For your creation is beautiful. You made it to enjoy and for us to walk with you in peace and love. Lord, we lift up to you today the people on our hearts who are weak, who are sick, who struggle with poverty and cannot pay their bills. We lift up to you today the homeless in this community and throughout the country. We lift up to you those who have illnesses that we cannot see that cause their minds to not feel stable. Help them to find wholeness. Help us all to find wholeness and health. Oh Lord, we ask that you bring us to a place of shalom. Shalom, peace, joy, hope, life. Life in all of its wholeness. We pray for those who grieve. We pray for those who experience joy in the least likely moments of their lives. Oh Lord, we thank you for all of these opportunities to lift up to you those who need your help the most. Help us surround them like you surround them in compassion and love. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, the babe of Bethlehem, who will be born again in our hearts each and every day, and who was born 2,000 years ago, and then who, as he grew into manhood, taught so many lessons so that we might turn our hearts back to you. One of his greatest lessons was teaching us to pray. So hear us now as we say the words that he gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and join me in singing hymn number 15. Rejoice, rejoice, believers. Have journeyed through Advent together, just as Mary journeyed to visit Elizabeth as she awaited the birth, they both awaited the birth of their sons. I invite you to celebrate tonight with all of us here at the birth of Jesus. Remember, though, this day and always, that no matter where your journey leads, all things are possible with God. All things are possible. For you go with the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community of the Holy Spirit who is with us now and forever. Amen and amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Number 14, all four verses.
Savior of my nations, come.
For we wish you a Merry Christmas.